Welcome to the Gatecast, presented by Alan and Mike.
Lucy, I'm home.
I am not Lucy.
Oh, you're right. We'll just upload a computer virus into the mothership.
I was going to do my living room like this.
Buffer, my recommendation is that anyone attempting to leave the mountain should be shot on sight.
Good evening, good morning, and welcome to Gatecast episode 155, New Order Part 2. As you may recall, we split the season 8 premiere episode into two parts. It was an extended episode on the DVD, and so we don't have an introduction per se. Since we don't have too much of a build-up this week, or indeed an SG-1 title sequence, here are the episode air dates. New Order Part 2 aired as part of a double-length feature on the US Sci-Fi channel on the 9th of July 2004. It was also presented the same way on the DVD releases. However, it aired as a standalone episode in the UK on the 23rd of October, and on the 28th in Australia. It's listed as February the 9th, 2005 in Canada, but I'm not quite sure of that date. If anyone knows if that was a free-to-air broadcast or on a pay channel, can you let us know? I'm sure I heard the 8th season came to the Canadian market much sooner. A few things to look out for in this episode. Michael Shanks plays 4 different characters. We also saw the first appearance of Colonel Lionel Pendergast, and James Bamford had a small role. He was a stunt coordinator for Stargate Atlantis and is now currently working on Arrow.
Ever thought to yourself, I'd like to listen to a Star Trek podcast? That's different.
I'm ready to irradiate your existing brain cells.
Oh, how about one with an English host?
T. Earl Grey, hot.
Or a news section.
Accessing library computer data.
Or one that can help you navigate for the latest Star Trek news.
Can anyone remember when we used to be explorers?
Well, not quite. But Trek News and Views will bring you the latest news with either review or discussion from a wide variety of co-hosts.
Oh my.
Don't accept anything less.
And you people, you're all astronauts on some kind of Star Trek.
Trek News and Views, iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and on the Trek FM website. Other similar podcasts are but to be discouraged.
We have a little Stargate act and news this week, as Ben Browder has taken the role of Ted Gaynor in the hit CW show Arrow. I'm not a comic book reader, nor familiar with the Arrow story to know if this is an important role, or even a recurring one. But either way, great to see Ben once again on television after his brief exposure on Doctor Who. Also worth watching out for Amanda this week. She should be making her debut on Supernatural this Wednesday the 14th on the CW, in an episode called A Little Slice of Kevin. Birthdays this week include Roland Emmerich, the director of the theatrical Stargate feature film, who celebrates on the 10th. We also have on the 11th Vanessa Angel, who played the Tok'ra Freya Aniz in 3 season 4 episodes of SG-1. Also David Pekow, who was the bloodthirsty prisoner of the Cerberus in the episode Forsaken. There's also Deluise's birthday this week on the 11th. Happy birthday to David, who played Pete Shanahan, the detective who wooed Sam Carter. On the Gatecast front, I believe we'll be the final week for the Ronin Dex figure competition, in conjunction with our plea for iTunes reviews and ratings. This is mainly to allow for some postage time and avoid the seasonal rush wherever the winner lives. So if you haven't left us a review, please do so. We want to give Ronin a good home. Barring that, if you enjoy the show, just let us know. We'd love to hear from you via any of the usual methods, email, social media, etc. But if you're only going to do one thing, then an iTunes review would be very appreciated. If you do want to contact us in regards to Stargate, and that includes any of the live-action series, or the Gatecast podcast, both past, future and present episodes, then you can do so via email, which is thegatecast@gmail.com, or via the contact form on the gatecast.co.uk website. You can search for us on iTunes, Facebook and Google+, using the term Gatecast. And on Twitter we are listed under The Gatecast, which is one word. That's all the nitty-gritty today, so let's get back to New Order Part 2 and see how SG-1 handled the replicators and Daniel and Weir sort out those pesky go-old.
Come try ya!
So let's get straight to the episode where we left off last week. The gate has just been shut down by Daniel after he deciphered the message indicating attack on Earth by the System Lords to test the defensive weapon responsible for defeating Anubis. And the 3 aliens are obviously a little peeved. No Irish countdown this week, so 3, 2, 1, click.
What is the meaning of this?
So we're into part two now, written by Rob C. Cooper.
Yes.
Directed by Andy Makita.
Not our favourite couple. Not that I'm suggesting that Mazzello and Thingy are a couple, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
We are political dignitaries. How dare you prevent us from leaving?
Sending ships here to attack us is an act of war, and a foolish one at that, given what our defences are capable of.
My lord did not order such action.
Undo it. Tell the system lords to call the ship back.
The decision they have made is one of desperation, forced upon them by your unwillingness to help.
Oh, the poor system lords. Did the big bad Earth people do something nasty to them?
Even if I did believe you, all good faith is out the window at this point. You're our prisoners. Take them away.
Separate cells as well.
Yes, no sneaky invisibility cloaks.
Yeah, don't fall for that gourd trick of putting everybody in one cell. And tell the guards, no talking to the prisoners. Don't even look at them. Don't gloat. That never works out well for the gourd.
Greetings, Thor.
Greetings.
Whatcha?
Teal'c, this is Penegal of the Asgard High Council.
Penegal?
Hmm.
I regret to report that the debris from the destroyed replicator ship could not be contained.
My, what a big bauble you have.
Yeah, that's never good.
No, it wasn't. You'd have thought the Asgard would have thought of something like that. It makes you wonder if he actually told him it was a replicator ship or just a plain ship.
Control of the city is in jeopardy.
So do you not consider evacuating your people?
That is no longer possible.
There are too many. We carried numerous stored mines aboard the computers of our ships when we fled our home world. When Orilla was finally found, we were able to place those minds into cloned bodies so that we could build our new colony.
Oh dear. So the majority of their population is in data storage.
Those minds. If we lose this battle, they will perish along with their bodies, taking with them the hopes of the Asgard race.
That's not good when there's replicators about. They tend not to be discriminating when it comes to eating stuff.
Oh, that's never good.
Or we could take you out right now. Oh, well, who'd want to be the commander of the Prometheus at this moment?
Oh, we'll find out in a couple of seconds.
Colonel Pendergast, played by Barclay Hope. Canadian actor, been in 6 episodes of Stargate SG-1.
Mm.
Also Battlestar, Sanctuary, Hellcats, and Eureka.
Out, 8 degrees starboard.
Designation?
None yet, sir. Vessel is the size of a gold mothership.
Lieutenant Womack, played by Chelan Hosdal.
Hold your position, prepare to fire.
4, 3.
On screen, maximum magnification.
2, 1.
Here it comes.
It's a red blob.
Open a channel broadcasting all frequencies and translate into gold.
Yes, sir.
Good that they've got gold translators now.
Yeah.
Shoot it. Shoot it now. Fire first.
This is Colonel Lionel Pendergast of the United States Air Force Prometheus. Unidentified vessel. Failure to reply will constitute an act of aggression, and we will respond with the full force of our weapons.
That will be unnecessary.
That was rather familiar from the lieutenant, wasn't it? Well, one Asgard.
We are aboard the Daniel Jackson.
Yes.
I have just received word that the Asgard have arrived.
Convenient.
They want to witness the demonstration of our new ancient defense technology that you have forced us into. There's still time to call off the attack.
We would also like to witness the demonstration.
Your ship isn't coming. It was destroyed en route by Bob. Collective forces of the System Lords are bowing, and you're losing the war.
And so are you.
That's my cue to exit.
Bye-bye, Daniel. That kind of came as a shock to everybody. But it shouldn't be. After all, every time an Asgard comes into orbit, somebody gets beamed up.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Keep up, Daniel.
Hey, guys.
Our new colony is in grave jeopardy. The replicators escaped from the time dilation device and are threatening to destroy the Asgard.
Okay, so...
Tell him about Sam.
Burr believes the ancient knowledge stored in O'Neill's mind may be the key to defeating the replicators once and for all.
Jack's frozen down in Antarctica.
He was frozen down in Antarctica.
Take care.
Yeah, take care. Yeah, with Indian food.
Now, this is the sort of role Richard Dean Anderson likes.
As I was saying, where's Sam?
She was captured by the replicators. Her ship was destroyed.
Uh-oh.
Perhaps that should have been given more substance.
Yeah. It was probably cut for time.
Yeah. Ooh. Nighty time. Long hair.
That's what I'm saying. That's how much cleavage we get. Yeah, that's a nighty. To quote, was it Arrow? No, I think it was Justified. My grandmother wears a nighty. This is negligee.
That's a crusty loaf, that is. And three bowls of porridge.
Oh dear, he's fallen in love with Amanda. Not that I can blame him, frankly, but...
We know she's on board the replicator ship, or was anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We know this is probably some sort of a mental manipulation, because they've done this before.
Oh, Amanda's hair is down.
Yeah, she's got long hair.
Hmm.
I suppose that once she's outside of the Air Force, she'll let it grow a bit. I'm pretty sure that...
A white picket fence and a dog.
I was saying, I'm pretty sure that's probably one of the Castle Crew's dog, but since we don't have any commentary for this episode, that sort of information I'm not sure about. Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O, and on that farm there was a... David DeLuise not only survived, but looks like he's prospered.
Didn't think you'd ever get up.
It's something like every... Thank you.
What am I doing with you?
Pete.
It's like 50 first dates, isn't it?
Yeah.
Gotta explain this to you every morning.
What's up? You okay? Something wrong?
Yes, everything.
What do you mean?
Piss. What are you doing here? What am I doing here? Where the hell is here?
I wondered what that smell was. Wipe your feet.
That was good. You had me. You really had me. Of course, I've been up since 5 feeding the pigs and the chickens.
No, Pete, honestly, I don't...
Yeah, that says a lot about our relationship.
Yeah.
You know what?
I think this is real.
What is the Matrix?
You hungry? I'm starving. Come on. We'll go inside. I'll whip you up some pancakes.
You don't understand.
Pete is no doubt famed for his pancakes.
This isn't happening.
Oh, yes, it is, Sam.
The last thing I remember, I was on board a replicator ship. And this is just another way of screwing with my mind.
Okay. Here's what I know. This is not SGC. It's Montana. Nothing weird happens here. Not like you're used to.
Montana?
Nothing weird happens in Montana.
Because of mental stress. And because you wanted to be with me and a farm full of really stinky animals. Since then, you've been seeing a shrink because you can't seem to shake the nightmares. You've had a bad one, okay?
But mental stress first.
That's it.
Sure, sure.
See, this would have been believable if we hadn't seen what led up to it. He must die for that.
Let he who kisses these lips offer up his life to the gods. And of course, Jack.
Did that feel real?
Oh, boy.
Yes.
Then snap out of it. Okay. Pancakes or do I have to call the doctor?
Pancakes.
I'm kind of hungry.
Good.
Who was it on GWC tweet who said they had bacon pancakes the other day?
Okay.
Nah, there's CGI, Thor.
What are you gonna do?
I am going to merge O'Neill's mind with the ship's computer.
To do that, you're gonna have to defrost him first, right? I bring this up because he was near death when we froze him.
Hopefully, the pod will sustain his life.
Defrost him? Oh, that's not good.
Hopefully?
What other choice do we have?
Well, can't you just save him like the last time this happened? Just wipe the ancient knowledge from his mind.
And lose any chance of learning a means to defeat the replicators.
That's a good point, Thor.
You have no right to risk his life.
Ooh. Well, every right, really.
We can't make that choice for him, no matter what's at stake. Can't you just extract the ancient information into the ship's computer? Then we can all benefit from it, maybe even learn how to use ancient weapons on Earth.
You cannot even begin to comprehend the extent of what was unfolding in O'Neill's mind. Our scientists long ago extracted parts of the ancient library of knowledge and learned much from it.
The switching between CGI and model, puppet, I should say.
And we have barely scratched the surface.
So we'd be looking for a needle in a haystack.
A haystack of infinite size.
That's big.
Oh, they've been, shall we say, acquiring technology just like the Gould do, and just like the humans do. I pity the ancients, they had to invent everything themselves.
Yep.
Of course it will, Thor, don't worry, you're a genius.
You requested to see me?
You must let us go.
Let my people go.
If that's what...
If your intent is to extract information from us, you should know I will die before I say anything. And nothing my master says can be trusted.
Or believed.
Anubis was overconfident, and he still needed the bulk of his armada to keep the system lords at bay. The fleet he used to attack Earth was small. Compared to that which Bob will command should he defeat the system lords, he will rule the galaxy. No weapons will be powerful enough to stop him.
What would you have me do?
Free us to fight.
You've got to like Hushu. He was a good first prime. Anubis, of course, really didn't need a big fleet because he had his super starship, which could take out a dozen...
Yeah, nice, pretty explosions.
He is not well.
The guy don't even know what day it is.
The process of interfacing his mind is complex.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, this is lovely, isn't it? Jack inside the computer.
Sing on.
Jack?
O'Neill, can you hear us?
Hey. Hey, guys. What's going on?
Your mind has been interfaced with the Daniel Jackson.
What?
Like I said, brilliant role for Richard Dean Anderson.
Somebody told him.
You thought there would have been a nameplate somewhere. Oh, this is so Jack, just stop it.
I can pretty much do anything I want, can't I?
He's getting the hang of it pretty quick. Jack is intelligent.
Yep.
He wouldn't have got where he was. He always downplayed it.
Sorry.
If you wish, you may appear to us as a hawk.
Oh. Well.
Let's not worry about that then.
Well, Jack, you found yourself.
You okay?
That's a little weird. But, yeah, okay.
At least you're not speaking ancient.
There's that.
Actually, the computer is translating.
Ah.
Come on, you've got old, Jack. You've got very old over the years.
I've never looked better.
There is not much time, O'Neill.
There was planted.
I know. Ship's locked.
Can you help with the replicators?
Already on it.
Jack.
Daniel. The computer recorded the whole conversation. Thanks for your concern.
Oh, bless.
Talk amongst yourselves.
Where's the off switch?
Nice. Great little scene that was. I hope he's wearing underwear.
I've discussed the situation with my superiors. We've decided to let you all go.
Good, because I was running out of air gel.
Don't have any bloody spears.
Well, it seems we haven't had much success interrogating Goulds in the past. And it was made apparent to me you're much more useful to us fighting Ball.
Good point.
Dr. Weir.
You know my name.
We know a great many things, but we don't know why you changed your hair color.
Wait for it.
This may come as a surprise to you.
Well, I'm not sure anything can surprise me at this point.
I wish to request asylum.
Well, it seems I was wrong again.
My fleet was destroyed before I came here. My domain, among the first to fall. I have nothing left with which to fight. The only thing waiting for me through the Stargate is shame and torture. So it is not true that I would be more useful to you out there. Perhaps I could be of some use to you here.
I'm sure if he, you know, prostrated himself in front of Bol, he'd be given a command. I think Bol would rather have him as a subject than kill him outright. Not as if there ain't a future for him, because we've seen system lords become servants of others.
Yep.
Hey, I was thinking we could go into town tonight, have dinner, see a movie.
Which movie? Come on, which movie?
Come on. You can't really expect me to just play along.
I gave up my job for this. I gave up my life for you.
See? That is definitely not Pete.
Ooh, temper. Laving over a hot kitchen. That's all she can say.
Nothing you say is going to convince me. I know who you are. I just don't understand why. What do you want from me? Why are you doing this?
For what every Stargate viewer wants from you. Oh, dear. I don't think anything he could have said would have disgusted him more.
That's odd. I'd imagine he was extrapolating everything from Sam's memories, but he was putting his own spin on it. That's why, you know, he kind of fell apart. If he'd have just stuck with her memories, then he could have let the illusion go on and on.
Fifth be crazy.
Yeah.
It seems O'Neill's mind is building something, virtually, in conjunction with the ship's computer. I do not know how much longer his life can be sustained.
Jack, can you hear me?
I must revive him now.
Wait! Not yet!
Too late. That was a nice solid thump.
Mm-hmm.
In seasons gone by, movable perspex in this show tended to wobble and...
Why? What a headache.
Take it easy, you've been through a lot.
What? What have I done now?
What now?
Oh.
What's the last thing you remember?
Sticking my head in an alien device.
Getting my head sucked by one of those dang ancient head suckers. And something about twins.
Hey?
Huh?
I'm not even going to ask.
Could it be two Elizabeth Weirs?
Duke, what's with the hair?
The subject of the year Chris wanted to do for many a season. Always turned down, but Brad Wright finally gave in. They assumed that, you know, the series was wrapping up.
Mm.
So why not let him? Saves Chris Judge a lot of time and effort.
Duke, what's with the hair?
The specifications for the device you created remain in the computer. I believe I can synthesize it.
Sweet. What is it? We don't know. You made it. No. Yes.
Yeah.
No. Yes. No. Yes.
It's a bloody panto.
We shouldn't be laughing because it's silly, but it just works between these characters. You know, we've got so much history between them.
It's doubtful at best that he would remember. The knowledge of the ancients is gone.
All right. Let me have a look. Yeah. Got legs.
Bracket. Brunt. Bracket.
Got legs.
So does Daniel there. So this is Daniel talking with Daniel.
Yes. Freaking it.
Now this is some beautiful manipulation of live action and CGI footage.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Okay, it's metal.
Yep. Work out something shortly.
You're still alive, man.
Pentagon, I am relieved you are still able to communicate.
It may not last long. Were you able to procure a means of fighting the replicators?
Possibly. It still requires more research.
You should know those infesting the colony are behaving in an organized fashion, unlike any replicators we have encountered before.
Perhaps they are being controlled by a human form leader who has yet to reveal itself.
If a human form replicator survived, it's possible Sam survived too, isn't it?
They all say it the same, don't they, the replicators?
The old version replicators created a new human form to lead them as before.
Yeah, but there's a chance. Can you scan the planet for life signs?
We already have.
Marching down the avenues in orderly parade.
Russian uniform.
Hmm. Close, though. Close.
The music is reminiscent of the theme tune in the background there.
Yeah, it does.
Not the actual theme tune, but there are elements contained therein.
Lost them. That can't be good.
Thanks for pointing out the blindingly obvious, Thor.
Pentagon, as well as Thor, voiced by Michael Shanks, as Alan said. They did sound different, though.
But I would just accept it.
If it was something you wanted badly enough in your mind.
Is that why you tortured me for so long? So I would want this as an alternative?
No, I tortured you because I was mad.
You are mad, but not in the sense of angry, my dear Fifth. You're bleeding mentally.
There is cause for it, though, let's face it. I mean, the replicators themselves considered him broken. That probably doesn't do your psyche any good at all, if your own creators think you're a bit damaged.
I saw you like no one else ever could.
Human emotions can be very overwhelming. The fact that you feel anything at all is a miracle. It makes you very special.
Yes, you're special.
I'm glad you see that.
No.
Oh, dear.
You don't understand. I could never be happy this way.
Then you would be unhappy for a very long time.
Oh, that's an unhappy relationship to be in.
Indeed.
That is a freaky image.
Yeah, that's freaky if she was naked.
I tell you, if you could build that out of Lego, half the population of the world, maybe more so, would want that set.
Now, off you go. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everybody. Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
One last look at my spectacular cleavage.
Make sure Camulus knows he will forever be branded a traitor and a coward.
I'm sure that'll sit well with him.
Look at her holding her hands out. Bit of a peacock she is.
Most intriguing.
Oh, it looks good under a green light.
Yeah.
You make it work?
To be honest, I am still unsure of exactly what it is.
It's a weapon.
Yes, it looks like a weapon.
Point and shoot.
I've seen something similar in Doom, the game.
Thor, this is Commander Azir of the Valhalla. We have lost contact with the colony.
Azir, communications are down. What have you to report?
We have located what appears to be the remains of a human form replicator floating in space. It obviously survived the destruction of its ship. By all appearances, it is currently inactive.
Transmit coordinates.
Use caution, Thor.
Azir? I wonder who that's voiced by. Hey, Michael?
What are you gonna do? Where are you going?
I am going to transport it aboard.
Why?
We must learn the location of the human form controlling the replicators on the planet.
Isn't this how the war started when they were mucking about with the replicators and it kind of got out of hand?
Yeah, that sounds like a really good idea.
Anybody recognize him?
Yes, it's James Bamford.
Is it?
Stuntman extraordinaire. James Bamford. Okay. Stunt choreography in Atlantis.
Oh.
And he's also working on The Arrow.
I'm confusing him with the other guy. You know, the guy from BSG and one episode of that short-lived science fiction program BBC show last year.
Jamie, isn't it?
Yep.
And if he wakes up, is Pod going to hold him?
Probably not.
Because it's not moving.
Hmm.
Beam the replicator on board, what possibly could go wrong?
Yep.
He's listed as 8, which makes you wonder what happened to 6 and 7.
But we must take the risk.
Almost like the Borg Collective, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going to wake up.
P90's not a good weapon against replicators. You want shotgun.
What's that?
Replicator communication data. I am searching for any references to other human forms.
You can't just keep me here forever.
Yes, I can.
Yes, you can, love.
No matter what you do, I will never, ever participate in this fantasy.
I'm sure he can manipulate her memories to such an extent that she'd be happy.
What?
Ooh, he's alive.
Zoom in.
Right. Get the horses to the rescue.
Sam, can you pinpoint her location?
She is within a small replicator structure on the planet. It is some distance outside the colony, near a rich vein of neutronium.
They must be using it to create more human replicators.
I thought the ship was destroyed.
At least one of the human replicators must have separated from the main ship with Major Carter prior to exiting hyperspace.
Kaboom!
I love it. Thor looks surprised. Puppet shouldn't be able to look surprised like he does.
He's awake now.
Feel free to shoot him. Now, quickly.
Beam it out!
I am trying. It has made itself resistant. It has breached the internal barrier and interfaced with my ship's computer.
And the room protected themselves. They adapt. They should know this.
This is the Borg.
Oh.
Oh dear.
Yep, too late. You're basically just shooting metal.
Hmm. That's never good.
Ooh, that's... Ooh. Don't watch for tilt, duck. No messing. Oh, nice. That's what the weapon does.
Guess he figured out how to work it.
I wonder if Joss Whedon actually saw this. Ah, that's what he does. The Thor's eyebrow shaped. Love it.
Had to do something.
Now to get that on a bigger scale. A much bigger scale. Planetary-wide scale.
It seems to have permanently disrupted all communication between the individual cells, rendering each one inert. We explored such a technology in the past with no success.
You didn't have Jack.
Yeah.
I mean, we can use this thing to whack the rest of those bugs?
Even better, O'Neill. Now that I have seen what the device does, I may be able to modify a large version to broadcast a disruption wave over all of Orilla.
All good. While you're doing that...
I cannot transport you inside the replicator ship on the planet. Their defenses prevent it, but I can get you close.
Close is good.
Build a bigger one.
Yes. It's a BFG.
It is a BFG, right from Doom.
But will you be able to control your beard without the wireless mouse? Come on, let's face it, they just got a wireless mouse and put a shiny cover on it. You know, it's a very simply made prop.
It doesn't look like there's any real weight to it, like a crystal would have it, would it?
Well, not the way Jack held it. Sure, RDA was going, yeah, he's something to fiddle with.
Aren't they a replicator two more of those guns?
Apparently not.
Been a while since we've been in the Vancouver woodland. Above you.
You know, if he hadn't opened it, whatever passes from out, oh shit.
It's fortunate that energy blast doesn't affect humanoid life.
Yes.
Yeah, you're kind of wasting ammunition, just let Jack do it all.
Who's your daddy? Stop!
Shoot him now.
If you harm me or any more of my brethren, I assure you Major Carter will die instantly.
Got to play for time.
Pet.
Let Thor build his big gun. I don't know, I preferred the O'Neill more than the Jackson. It looks more like a little muscle ship.
To emit a massive disruption wave.
Excellent! I knew you could do it.
The weapon is 50% charged. If this works, you will have saved the Asgard once again.
Holding it like there's a button on it.
But we got a little bit of a problem down here. Fifth detected our approach, and he claims he can kill Carter instantly.
O'Neill.
Hey, I know what you're going to say. Her life was already sacrificed. And you've got your whole planet to worry about, but I've got problems too. Hang on a second. What?
It's quiet. Too quiet.
Something's coming.
Click, 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 click.
This could be very bad.
Should they make clacking noises in the soft forest?
I suppose it's the joints themselves that are making the noise.
Ooh, bigger ones. Mammy bugs.
Now, if you had a thing about bugs and insects, this would really be creeping you out. See? Artificial intelligence at work. Meet an obstacle, work your way around it.
What are they doing? It's like they're running away.
How dare they? We're running out of time to commit genocide.
What is happening, O'Neill?
They're retreating.
You must stop them, O'Neill. The weapon is not yet ready. They cannot be allowed to escape.
Oh, not a power bar.
It's a Windows progress bar.
Yeah, gets to about 80% and stops.
Very sensible clarity, isn't it?
I know you can hear me!
You could be anywhere. It could be the house. You've been inside the house.
What's happening? Fifth, where are you?
He's playing hide and seek. Very well, as it turns out.
We must leave.
Why?
They found a means to fight us.
The Asgard? How?
The one you call O'Neill.
Oh, that's it. Give her hope.
So many of us are left in this city. We cannot wait for them. They will be killed.
And he's got to protect his family.
Don't expect me to be sorry.
Your friends. They are killing.
So that bit about don't kill any of my people, I'm going to kill Sam. They've ignored it.
They're trying to stop us.
Trying to save me.
No. They do not care about you. I told them I would kill you if they did not stop.
Yes, indeed.
And they haven't stopped. That's it, guys. Look impressed. Big alien spaceship.
They seem to build to a particular design, though.
They know what they like.
Why haven't you zapped it, Jack?
Yeah, zap that. If Sam's in there, she'll just fall to the ground. Hey, kid.
Maybe break an ankle.
Maybe.
Then why don't you kill me?
Ooh.
You know why my friends won't stop just to save me?
No.
Because they know when it comes right down to it, I would rather be dead than be trapped like this forever.
Puts a knife in.
No matter what you feel for me, I will never love you back. Kill me if you want. But if you have even one shred of humanity in you, and you really truly love me, you'll let me go.
Please release me, let me go.
And that's it. The old argument, if you love me, you'll let me go. Replicators can't cry. That's just totally wrong.
Jack, weren't you shooting it?
Jumping into hyperspace within the atmosphere of a planet, yards away from humans, and they don't even flinch.
Ooh, made the camera go wobbly.
Yeah, camera was infested with replicators.
Reports from the colony say all the remaining replicators have been neutralized. While the ship did escape, at least we have an effective means of fighting them now.
Ah, well, at least there's that.
Well, we've saved the planet. Unfortunately, the replicators are still out there.
I am detecting a fourth life sign in your immediate vicinity.
Good news.
Yay.
Sam!
There's hope, lads. There's hope. Couldn't he actually tell them exactly where she was?
Sam! Carter!
Over here!
No, they find Daniel naked, don't they? Not Amanda.
You okay?
Well, not yet. Yeah, you can use this one-off weapon as a pillow.
Use my lap as a pillow.
Yeah.
She looks pretty good considering all the trials and tribulations she's been through. We're not losing another commander. You've only been here a couple of days, considering.
Uh-huh.
At least she's changed.
Yep.
These are a non-negotiating outfit.
Command, how are you feeling?
Not bad. Haven't had the urge to go anywhere or build anything lately.
Well, you have been given a clean bill of health, as far as the finest medical professionals on this planet are concerned.
Well, what do they know?
That's a big drug she's got in the background.
Yep.
The president asked me to extend an invitation to you. Dinner at the White House?
You know what they're having?
That's not just a potted plant.
I don't think I've had the chance to personally thank you yet.
For what?
You risk your life over and over and ask for nothing in return.
Well, don't be fooled. I'm making a list.
Well, I doubt very much that there's anything that could properly repay you.
Guinness, Simpsons on DVD instead of the VHS, because she's given that to Sila.
As a matter of fact, the president has asked me to supervise the research of the ancient outpost. It's going to be a bit of a delicate situation, given all the various international claims already being made on the site.
Sounds right up your alley.
Yeah, well, much more so than this job.
Does that mean Hammond will be coming back?
No. General Hammond has been promoted. He'll be overseeing all things relating to Earth's defense on behalf of the Pentagon and Washington. The SGC, the 303 program, the Antarctic site. Unofficially, it's being called Home World Security.
Any idea who we're going to be stuck with?
Brace yourself.
The Pentagon has convinced the president that there is one man who could run the SGC and make it politically viable from an international perspective, despite the fact that he is part of the American military establishment.
Do we know this shrub?
That's not ominous at all.
Brigadier General Jack O'Neill.
Me?
Yeah, you.
Not quick, Jack, not quick. Ooh, Brigadier General. Hey, bump.
It's on my list.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations.
I should be clear. Like the promotion, the paycheck, and the parking spot. But I don't really want to be in charge of anything. No.
Well, sadly, all those things kind of go together. So I guess you have some thinking to do.
I hate that.
It wasn't, it is now.
Maybe you should break it down to the pros and the cons. I've spent my whole life sticking it to the man. If I do this, I'll be the man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can be the man.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Jack O'Neill might not be too sure, but Richard Dean Anderson thinks it's a bloody brilliant idea.
If Ball truly is on the verge of dominance over the System Lords, we face a formidable challenge ahead.
Plus, who knows where and when Fifth and the other replicators will turn up.
Here on Earth, we've never been under so much scrutiny as we will be now that so many governments know about the Stargate.
I've never had a desk.
You can sample items from the buffet.
Yeah, you can say blue jello every day. Fruit Loops.
You do have a desk.
Does he? Where? Daniel took it ages ago.
Nobody knows how this place should be run better than you.
Why, thank you, Daniel.
With a little guidance from your good friends and advisors, of course.
If you don't take the job, we could end up with someone much worse.
That's it. Daniel the Grand Vizier. You could have Woolsey.
That didn't come out right.
I, for one, will miss you accompanying us on our missions, O'Neill.
Yeah, now see, I'm not sure I'm ready to give that up either. Sitting back watching you guys go off and have all the fun.
Risking your lives in the face of grave danger.
Yeah, that.
Well, I'm sure there'll be situations in which you can accompany us in the field, sir.
You'll be in charge. You can do whatever you want.
I'll be able to do whatever I want.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. That's what a brilliant dangerous thought. Daniel suddenly realised, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Oh, God, what have I unleashed?
He's thinking window of opportunity here, isn't he?
I'm thinking I am become destroyer of worlds.
They will regret it.
Although my time here has been brief.
Brief? You've had 2 episodes.
I will remember every one of you, and I thank you all for your hard work. I'm not one for long goodbyes, so without further ado, it is with great pleasure I introduce you to your new commanding officer, Brigadier General Jack O'Neill.
Ooh, in full shiny uniform with lots and lots of ribbons.
Is it protocol then you don't have to salute at this sort of gathering?
This is Jack, he can do whatever he wants.
Probably his first memo, don't salute me. Okay, who was expecting the first time we saw this for him to get beamed up?
Oh, bless.
Eddie's.
Yes, even that guy scratching his nose in the control room.
Scratch.
You all know how much I love speeches, so I'll make this short. I wish I could say I didn't owe anything to anyone. But the truth is, I wouldn't be standing here if it wasn't for the courage and support of each and every one of you. I hope I can be as good a leader as we've had in the past, and as good as you deserve.
You're here.
Yes, we can hear perfectly well, Daniel.
Civilians. We wouldn't have hecklers if they were all military.
The other reason I took this job was so I could do really cool stuff like this. It is with great pride that my first order of business as commander of this base is the announcement of the promotion of Major Samantha Carter to Lieutenant Colonel.
Oh. Well, they kept that a bit of a secret. Look on her face. See, the job does have perks.
Yes, you get to hug Sam. Yeah, that wasn't pips, that was a plate of some description.
The President of the United States has placed special trust and confidence in the patriotism, integrity, and abilities of Major Samantha Carter. Major Samantha Carter is promoted to the grade of Lieutenant Colonel, United States Air Force.
Lieutenant Colonel Samantha Carter.
I'm not questioning the fact, but why is Walter reading this ad?
Because Jack doing the presenting, there's nobody else available.
There must be somebody else of higher rank, Master Sergeant.
Raise your right hand and repeat after me.
That is a non-commissioned post, isn't it?
I, insert name.
Go on, say it.
I, Samantha Carter.
Damn.
Jack would say it.
Meanwhile, in the depths of space, what could a lovelorn, love-struck, young, teenage, alien, artificial intelligence be making?
They're making Naked Sam.
I know the first moment of consciousness can be frightening. I will show you everything. Share with you all I know.
Will you know?
Somebody let him watch Weird Science, didn't they?
Mm-hmm. I've never actually seen it.
You have no idea how happy I am we were able to collect enough neutronium.
Ooh, toes, ankles, calf, goo. Yes, I'd take a step back as well, mate.
Calm down a little.
All the possibilities that's going through his little mind. And
we must search for a new home for our brethren to propagate.
Gooey. Very gooey.
It will pass quickly for us, though.
I wonder what that is.
I wonder if it's
enough.
Vegetable oil or something.
Everyone will know.
Got a yellow sheen to it.
Together, we cannot be stopped.
I wonder if he's programmed her with subservience. Because if she's anything like our Sam, she's not going to take this for long. Who won the competition this week? You did? Oh, there's the baby oil. Oil down Sam. That was New Order Parts 1 and 2. Pretty good season opener, I thought.
Indeed.
That's it, is it?
I have responsibilities now. Besides, we don't have that many episodes in the can.
I'm just asking your opinion on the episode. You just said indeed.
Interesting. It's sort of distracted me enough that I didn't really say that much. I could have said more. It was fun, and it had at least partially new Amanda tapping at the end of it, so, you know, that's all good in my book.
Yeah, that's a win. That's up the 8th season rather well. You know, we've got the Asgard. They were kind of put on the sidelines during season 7. but they're one of our allies that are kind of coming back into the game. The replicators are back, of course. We didn't see them in season 7.
Mm-hmm.
That should be fun. We're introduced to Elizabeth Weir, who will be moving on to a spin-off series. No secret at this stage, Atlantis, of course.
Yes.
Played by Tori Egerton, not Jessica Steen.
Right, Jess.
Yep. Jack is going to be the commander of the SGC, probably allowing Richard Dean Anderson to take
more time off.
More reduced role in season 8 than in season 7.
But still the pay bump.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And the parking spot, as he says, which makes you wonder if that's kind of in joke from where. Although, as a producer of the show, I imagine he gets a parking spot at the studios.
Yeah, assuming one of the DeLuise brothers doesn't steal it. And a reappearance of Pete. He's still alive. He's had sex with Amanda, which obviously makes him immune to the curse.
The most long-lived love interest, if you don't count Martouf.
And Jack.
Well, that's been a very mild flirtation, really. Very, very, very mild flirtation.
Which Jack would like to be considerably less mild.
Yes.
Okay, folks, that was New Order, also shared by a 80s band, as well as the other episode title stuff that Mike mentioned at the beginning. Thanks for downloading, thanks for listening, and thanks for voting in the poll. So the episode next week, which hasn't actually been decided yet, will be by the time you hear this.
Yep.
Stargate SG-1 unlocked the gate to the galaxy.
Move out.
A new team just found the key.
We're about to try to make a connection.
To go beyond.
Can I do that?
What we're looking for may be further away than we ever imagined, but it's not out of reach.
Atlantis.
Begin the dialing sequence.
Oh, yeah.
We're going in.
You have to see this.
You're underwater.
If we don't stop everything we're doing right now, we're dead.
I don't think we've gotten to the hard part yet.
Stargate Atlantis.
That's about it. Thanks for listening. I've been Alan.
And I've been Mike. We'll see you next week. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. You've been listening to The Gatecast, hosted by Alan and Mike. Join us at gatecast.co.uk. Stargate forever.